Blog Talk Radio.
An NFL Draft Lineup exclusive.
Welcome to another edition of Monday Night Lights. Today is March 23rd, 2009, and we're back at it again, baby. I'm your host, Rick Serratella, telling you like it is, and I've got quite a show lined up for you this evening. We're going to talk about it and be about it right after this. Ralph, where are you on Monday nights?
Over Rick's house.
That's right, on Monday Night Lights! With the best analysis there is, bottom line, I don't care who you want to talk to. You want to talk to NFL Draft Scout, who puts out bootleg rankings, who uses fake documents. You want to talk to Pro Football Weekly, who publishes NFL Draft Guides publications in February with heightened weights from school websites, and they give you team needs in a magazine publication before the free agency market even hits. Do you want to buy a publication from Mel Kiper Jr., who misspells player names because he has interns compile his magazine and he doesn't even proofread it? Do you want me to continue to spill the dirt on the NFL draft industry? Well, then check me out. For the biggest, the best, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel, blogtalkradio.com, fantasysportschannel.com, NFLDraftBible.com, All Access Football Radio, knock him out the block!
We're going to bring in Coach Ramil now.
You're here to hear first, folks.
Exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. What? The NFL Draft.
Coach, welcome to the show.
All you guys in the draft world industry, check me out on NFLDraftBible.com.
The detail in your Bible and the work that you put into it is spectacular.
You're here to hear first, folks.
What? NFLDraftBible.com.
Kirk, I love the NFL Draft Bible.
Oh, yes, indeed, it is. Monday Night Lights, thank you for that intro. And our talented producer strung that together for us here. And we've got a lot of things going on in this show, as I mentioned. First, what we're going to do is welcome in the newest member of the NFL Draft Bible family. And he hails from Miami, down there in Florida. He is the executive producer of the Big O radio show, syndicated, national syndication for the Miami Dolphins, all that good stuff. But bottom line, he's going to be taking over here on the Fantasy Sports Channel Tuesday and Thursday nights, 5 p.m. on Tuesdays, 6:30 p.m. on Thursdays. Welcome to the family, Mr. Brian Spector. Brian, are you with us, sir?
Rick Serratella, I'm with you, my friend. How are you this evening?
Doing well indeed, and welcome to the NFL Draft Bible family. Glad to have you aboard here on the All Access Football Radio, and you're going to be doing shows, as mentioned, on the Fantasy Sports Channel. But, Brian, there's too much to talk about right now, so let's get right into it and break some news. Sean Green Pro Day results coming down the wire, and Sean Green, a guy, you know, the only guy who ran for 100 yards in every game this year. 29 teams in attendance today at the Iowa Pro Day. Ran the 40-yard dash in 4.50, 4.54. Had an impressive 39-inch vertical jump. He improved 2 inches in that category, actually, from the combine. And he improved 4 reps on the bench press, 23 reps. So pretty impressive. For the 227-pound Sean Green, in your opinion, Brian, what does this do for his draft stock?
Sean Green, Rick, is a very interesting prospect. He comes from a great college program, and I'm a big fan of Kirk Ferentz in Iowa.
227 pounds. Those guys don't come around very often. 4.5, good speed for a guy of that size. 39-inch vertical is very impressive for a guy of that size. I still believe that Sean Green is a solid second-round pick. I think there are too many running backs still ahead of him. No Sean Moreno still ahead of him. Of course, Beanie Wells, who ran a 4.37 at his pro day, and Beanie's pushing over 230. So Beanie has an inch over Sean Green. But I like the kid. He's a very interesting prospect. I think he'll do very well at the next level. And I still see him as a solid second-round pick.
You know, Brian, it's interesting. I got done doing the latest NFL Draft Bible mock draft today. Cheap plug there, but check it out because it took me all freaking day. You know, I'm just curious. You know, I have one running back going in the first round of this year's draft. I'm just curious to know, how many running backs do you think will go in the first round of this year's draft?
That depends. What do you consider Percy Harvin? you know, Rick, right now I have Beanie Wells after his pro day going in the top 15. Beanie Wells could easily go in the top 10. I know the Cincinnati Bengals are very interested now in Beanie Wells, so I wouldn't be surprised if Beanie potentially could go number 6 to Cincinnati. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen. Freakish ability, a guy of that size. Now, I know, on the other hand, people will say, well, there's not really a high success rate of running backs, especially at Ohio State. When you look at Maurice Clarett, the last real successful one was Eddie George, and you know, he had 5-6 great years and then kind of tailed off and found his way out of the league. Right now, I still have, of course, Beanie Wells in the first round. I have No Sean Moreno in the first round. I think No Sean Moreno is a very rare talent. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He's very elusive. He runs with power. He comes from a very big program in the SEC at Georgia. What people fail to realize that with No Sean Moreno is the SEC fields 6 defenses in the top 30 in the entire country. So No Sean Moreno is going up against some of the strongest competition in all of college football, hands down, especially when this conference breeds a lot of NFL players. And that goes back to why I feel Matt Stafford is the number one pick in the draft as well. But to answer your original question, I have 2 running backs going in the first round in Beanie Wells and No Sean Moreno.
All right, way to bring it full circle. Brian, talking to Brian Spector, B-Spec. Check him out, the Football Spectacular premiering tomorrow night on the Fantasy Sports Channel, another addition to the All-Star lineup. And Brian, we're going to talk about more about that in a second. But before we do, it wouldn't be right if we put our finger on the pulse with the Daily Jay Cutler update. So why don't you fill us in with the latest and greatest with that scenario?
Jay Cutler, the saga never ends. Of course, Josh McDaniels comes out today and says he is our quarterback. Well, Josh McDaniels, of course you're going to say he's your quarterback. That doesn't mean if you don't get the right offer, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a veteran, a future pick, for the right deal, they will trade Jay Cutler. And you know what? If they traded Jay Cutler, I might be in the minority. I wouldn't blame them one bit. Rick, what has Jay Cutler accomplished? What has he accomplished?
I agree.
Here's my thing.
Listen, we could talk all day about this, but at the end of the day, Jay Cutler, good quarterback, will get his stats, but he'll never win. That's the bottom line. So
Rick,
therefore, I don't want Jay Cutler on my team.
You know what? Then you and I are in the same boat. I don't want him on my team either, and here's my reasons why, and I will make it quick so we can move on to the next topic. Jay Cutler, in 3 years, has not been in the playoffs once. He hasn't won a playoff game. He's got great stats. He has not demonstrated leadership. Deion Sanders came out the other day and had a great comment. Shut your mouth and lead your team. When you accomplish something, then you can talk. You know what? I don't blame Josh McDaniels for going after Matt Cassel. He's going after what he knows, what he groomed, what he's comfortable with. He didn't come out and say, Jay Cutler, you're not my quarterback. I don't like you. I don't think you're a good quarterback. I just want to go with what I'm comfortable in, what I'm trying to implement my system with this organization. That's what he was doing. So you know what, Jay Cutler? They wanted to trade you. You're a little ticked off. Great. Go out there, shut your mouth, lead your team, and prove that you can be the leader of that team, and you can make Josh McDaniels a believer in you. He comes from Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt went to a bowl game last year. They won 7 games. How many bowl games did Vanderbilt go to when Jay Cutler was quarterback? And I don't want to hear, oh, they didn't have any defense. They didn't have any defense. Jay Cutler did not lead his team. He's got a strong arm. He can make every throw on the field. But you know what? In a lot of games I watched him last year, and I'm talking numerous games, he made some of the most ill-advised throws that you could have intercepted the ball and ran them back. Some of those throws he makes, it's like, what are you thinking? How could you release that ball from your hand?
Those are some serious words. These are words of B. Speck, Brian Speck, Brian Spector. Check him out on the Football Spectacular. Getting a little ahead of myself because I know, Brian, you've got some special guests lined up for tomorrow. So why don't you fill us in on who's coming on and what we can expect from your show. And then I got to get you out of here, bud.
Not a problem, my friend. I need to get out of here, too, and I'll be talking to you later. But tomorrow on the show, we're expecting middle linebacker from Cal, Zach Follett. Zach, I have as a third-round pick, one of the best linebackers in all of college. We're also going to be joined by second-year wide receiver from the Washington Redskins, Devin Thomas. Devin Thomas looking to transition into the NFL, looking to have a better second year than he did the first year. You know, receivers have a transition period in the NFL. It's very difficult to come out and play lights out in round one, in year one, and we can make a lot of examples of that. Also, possibly Michael Smith from ESPN could be joining us, and former NFL great Joe Theismann. So it should be very interesting. We'll get Joe's perspective on the Jay Cutler situation. We'll talk about other players. Torrey Holt, where does he think he's going to end up? Samari Roll, Chris McAllister, a lot of former Pro Bowlers still out there. They can come in, they can help a team. We'll talk about DeMaurice Smith. Is he going to help a potential lockout? Is he good for the NFL right now? Of course, we'll get into Cutler, and we'll talk to Devin Thomas about the Redskins, their projections, the NFC East, and the signing of Albert Haynesworth, what he thinks of that. And we'll be talking all NFL all the time, my friend.
Absolutely. That is, once again, Brian Spector, B-Spec. Check him out. Football Spectacular airing tomorrow night, 5 p.m. exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Thanks a lot, Brian.
No problem, Rick. Take care, buddy.
And there you have it, our newest host, Brian Spector. And from one special guest to another, we're going to welcome in somebody that you all are very familiar with. That is the one, the only, Reverend Ralph Mancini. How are you, Ralph?
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
Doing good, doing good. And we are bringing in the Reverend. Our previous guest, Brian, had mentioned Devin Thomas coming on the show tomorrow. He will be covering our On the Clock segment, which is why we have you here tonight, Ralph. We're breaking down the Buffalo Bills, who are now on the clock, and we're going to talk about what they need and what they're going to get leading up to the draft and where they may go in the draft, and a little bit of some free agency stuff. So let's get right into it, Ralph, and discuss, you know, some of the needs here that the Buffalo Bills will be looking to address coming up in April's draft.
Well, with the Buffalo Bills, I mean, you don't know where to start. They have holes on both sides of the ball. But I'm going to start off with the defensive end position. As we all know, the Buffalo Bills, they've run a standard 4-3 defense. And last year, their pass rush was pretty anemic. They ranked 26th overall in that department. And their best pass rusher, Aaron Schobel, missed 11 games with a significant foot injury. Some people are speculating that he may not be the same player he's been in the past few years. So to me, if you're in the first round and a guy like Everett Brown with his long arms or his big leg drive, if he's there, I think it's a perfect marriage between Brown and the Buffalo Bills that really need a pass rushing presence, a guy that can make an impact from the get-go. But then moving over on offense, they also need to work on that offensive line. One story that hasn't been getting a lot of play outside of Buffalo is the fact that star left tackle excuse me, star left tackle Jason Peters is looking for a new contract, and he's looking for somewhere upwards of $10 million a year. Buffalo doesn't want to give him that much, obviously, so they might be looking to trade him, and if that's the case, they're going to probably have to move Langston Walker over to the left side, and they're going to have to look for a right tackle somewhere down the line during the draft. Another problem that they're facing is that their center, Preston, Kyle Preston, he is a free agent right now, and, you know, they haven't re-signed him either, so they have a big hole at center. They might potentially have a big hole at right tackle. And also at guard, Kevin Dockery, who was one of their big-ticket free agent pickups just a couple of years ago, is a guy that they have no interest in re-signing. So you're looking at holes at the center position, at the tackle position, and at the guard position. You know, Duke Preston is a guy who really came on last year, but the Bills don't want to pay him. Then over at tight end, you know, Robert Royal just signed with the Cleveland Browns. So right now, if the season were to start today, Derek Fine, who's more of a number two tight end in my opinion, he would be their starter at that position. So, you know, in my opinion, if that big, athletic, playmaking type of tight end, sort of like a Jared Cook is there in the second round, I think Buffalo needs to jump all over him, put him together with Lee Evans and T.O., and watch this offense actually become explosive. And then the only other needs besides those is maybe an outside linebacker. You know, last year at times they were forced to go with Kevin Ellison, who's more of an undersized guy. If they could find a better player, you know, maybe if Everett Brown isn't there, maybe they might consider bringing in or drafting Brian Cushion to play over on the weak side, who's a much bigger player than Ellison. But those are the major areas in need. And, you know, maybe in the sixth or seventh round, if they see a sleeper quarterback, they might want to consider bringing him in also, because Trent Edwards isn't exactly a durable guy. J.P. Losman is out of the picture right now, and all they have as a backup is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who they signed as a free agent who formerly played for the Cincinnati Bengals. So you really, really have a lot of holes here with the Buffalo Bills.
Talking to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, who forgot to take his hyper pill today. Ralph, I want to ask you, you know, Marshawn Lynch has come out and publicly stated that he expects to be suspended by Commissioner Roger Goodell. Is Fred Jackson the kind of guy the Bills feel comfortable enough with to be the featured back for 4 weeks? Or does Buffalo need to explore drafting another running back and even possibly draft trading Marshawn Lynch on draft day?
Well, you know, if they could actually find a good offer for Marshawn Lynch, I absolutely wouldn't blame them if they could trade Marshawn Lynch. But I think that it really all depends on how long Marshawn Lynch is going to get suspended for. If it's just one or two games, I think they're probably going to be comfortable enough with starting Fred Jackson. But if it happens to be a longer suspension where Marshawn Lynch has to sit out the first month of the season, I think they could possibly go for a veteran. Or they might be looking to maybe go with a younger guy, a guy that they picked up in last year's draft, Xavier Oman. Maybe they give him some more playing time. But I think it really all depends on how long Marshawn Lynch is suspended for.
All right, well, looking at the Bills' past drafts, and they've done fairly well, in my opinion. And last year they got Leodis McKelvin, who came on strong towards the end of the season. The back return 2007, as we said, Marshawn Lynch. In 2006, it was Dante Whitner. 2005 and 2004, a pair of receivers, Roscoe Parris and Lee Evans. And then also in that 2004 draft, the biggest bust they've probably had, the one and only J.P. and Ralph. Terrell Owens did not show for Bill's off-season workout program today in a message released by Owens to the fans. Apparently, he told the fans he would be there. He did not show. Any thoughts on T.O. or final thoughts with the Buffalo Bills before we move on?
Well, Terrell Owens, this is what you signed for, you know. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you have to put up with. You have to know that from the get-go. And Buffalo, to their credit, only signed Terrell Owens to a one-year contract. That being said, I think this was an excellent pickup because when you take a look at Buffalo's offense, I mean, their passing game has been pretty much anemic the past couple of years. As a matter of fact, Buffalo only has 26 passing touchdowns over the past 2 years. If you bring in a guy like T.O., who, granted, is a little bit older, you know at the very least he's going to catch you about 10 touchdowns. So I think he is a difference maker. I like the fact that they only signed him for a one-year contract. But, you know, Buffalo fans and the Buffalo coaching staff, they can't cry when T.O. doesn't show up to a team event because, you know, this is his M.O. I mean, we should all know T.O. by now. He's not going to change.
Well, that was the Buffalo Bills on the clock segment. 7-9 last season, and they are picking 11th overall. We're now going to move on to the Denver Broncos, who are now on the clock at number 12, talking with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini from the NFL Draft Bible. Remember, you can catch him each and every day with the All Access Football Daily Dose Report. A quick look at the Broncos, who have the 12th overall pick, as mentioned. Also picking in the second round, 16th overall, third round, fourth round, two fifth round picks, two seventh round picks, and a sixth rounder. A ton of free agent additions and subtractions that we're going to get to in a minute, but let's take a look at their past 5 years. Ryan Clady last year, great pickup. Didn't allow a sack last year. Jarvis Moss, the defensive end, in 2007. Jury's still out. Jay Cutler, 2006. I guess you could kind of say the same thing about him. And then 2005, they had Darren Williams, the cornerback, and linebacker DJ Williams. So Denver, new regime, Ralph, and lots of faces coming and going. But first, let's break down the team needs. What is Denver going to be looking to address that they haven't already addressed in free agency in the upcoming draft?
Well, I think when you analyze the Denver Broncos, I think you have to start over on the defensive line. I mean, for the past couple of years now, the Denver Broncos haven't been able to do much versus the opposition's running game. As a matter of fact, last year they ranked 27th overall versus the run, allowing 5 yards per carry. And if that weren't bad enough, they also allowed 26 rushing touchdowns, which put them second to last, along with the Rams. Only Detroit allowed more touchdowns on the ground. So I think when you're talking about team needs, I think it all starts with the defensive line. And now Mike Nolan is a new defensive coordinator. He's going to be bringing in his 3-4 system. So if a nose tackle is there or a big defensive end is there in the first round, I think there's no question that Denver needs to draft one of those players. You know, obviously they're going to be picking 12th overall. If a guy like B.J. Raji is there, I would pounce on him, but I don't think he's going to go that long. But if a guy like Tyson Jackson, a bigger defensive end who could play in that 3-4 system, or a guy like Robert Ayers is there, I think either one of those two guys can come in and make a difference on that defense and improve their run-stuffing ability. And by the way, Denver wasn't much of a pass-rushing team either, so, you know, Mike Nolan has a lot of work to do out there in Denver. Sticking with the defense, you know, I mentioned that they are going to the 3-4, and while they do have some standout linebackers, guys like DJ Williams, guys like Boss Bailey, Wesley Woodyard, who really came on as a rookie last year, I think they need to bring in some more bodies. I think they need to really build up the depth over at the linebacker position, because as you know, the 3-4 defense features linebackers, so the more you have, the better it is. And going over to the other side of the ball, I'm looking at the offensive line right now, and their guards and their center really don't do much for me. Ben Hamilton's a decent player, but you have a guy like Casey Wigman at center. He's getting up in years. He's about 35, 36 years old. You know, I would look to bring in some youth there, even at guard maybe. So I would definitely try to sort of reinforce that area of the offense. And then finally, you know, one position that we really don't talk about that often is kicker. You know, if at the end of the draft, in the seventh round, or maybe in the sixth round, if a good, strong kicker is there, I would bring him in to compete with Matt Prater, who started off strong last year, but really faded down the stretch. Was only 5-for-11 from 40 to 49 yards. Is a 68% career field goal kicker. So while he has a strong leg, he isn't very consistent or accurate. So although Denver, I think they don't have as many needs as Buffalo, but I think it's much more defined what direction they're going to go in, and I think it all starts along that defensive line with the Denver Broncos.
Talking to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, NFL insider from NFLDraftBible.com. You know, Ralph, I was doing the latest NFL Draft Bible mock draft today, which I've posted online. And, you know, I take a look at the cornerback position, and, you know, Dre Bly was released. Carl Pema and Dominic Foxworth were shown the door. They were allowed to walk during free agency. So aside from Champ Bailey right now, the Denver Broncos don't even have a cornerback with any game-playing experience. How about a guy like Vontae Davis in the first round?
Vontae Davis is an excellent cornerback. He's a tremendous athlete, and the thing that I really love about Davis is he can tackle. I mean, this guy could play versus the run. He's not afraid of sticking his nose in there. So that's what I really like about him. But the Denver Broncos did pick up a veteran from the Miami Dolphins, Andre Goodman, who actually did a decent job versus Brandon Marshall last year in Denver's game versus Miami. So I think, you know, Andre Goodman could be good for about a year or two. He's more of a stopgap guy. I could totally understand if they want to bring in a guy like Vontae Davis, who could eventually become the starter. But I think in his first year, probably Vontae Davis will start probably as the third corner and then eventually become the starter probably in his second or third year.
And Rev, another guy that has Denver fans all pumped up is another player in that secondary, and that would be the one and only Mr. Brian Dawkins. I mean, how much does this guy add to the team?
Oh, I mean, you really can't measure the impact of a guy like Brian Dawkins. Yeah, he might be 35, going on 36 years old, but the guy could still bring it. He sets a tone. He's a real team leader. This guy makes players around him better. He's a coach on the field. So I don't care how old he is, I think this is a guy that's going to make a difference from the first game on. So I love this pickup of Brian Dawkins. Tremendous pickup.
Hey, Ralph, despite all the free agent signings the Broncos have had during the offseason, we're still hearing some whispers about the Broncos being interested in a running back. What's your thoughts so far on how they've addressed this position, and where do they go from here?
Well, to be honest with you, if they're going to go after a running back, I don't think they're going to invest a high pick in that running back position because they've already picked up guys like Carell Buckhalter. They picked up Lamont Jordan. They still have Peyton Hillis as a fullback from last year. So in my opinion, if they bring in a guy, they might draft somebody maybe in the fourth round, maybe in the second day. I don't see them investing a high pick in a running back. And also, let's not forget, you know, the Denver Broncos, you know, if you really paid attention to them these past few years, they really haven't leaned on one guy consistently. They've used a number of different running backs. So to me, it would be kind of foolish to spend a first-round or a second-round pick on a running back when most of these running backs that they've had in the past few years, they've basically been complementary parts.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that had to do with injuries, and let's not forget J.J. Arrington also added to the mix.
I love that pickup. And, you know, Josh McDaniels coming over from the New England Patriots, I'm thinking that he wants to slot Arrington into that Kevin Falk role, who was very effective for the New England Patriots these past few years.
All right, Ralph, breaking it down with the Denver Broncos on the clock, picking 12th overall. Final thoughts, please.
Well, you know, as I said, I think the Denver Broncos, it would be nice if they could bring in Avante Davis, but I think they should really focus on shoring up that defensive line. They haven't been able to stop the running game for a couple of years now, and I think that's where it all starts with the Denver Broncos.
And last but not least, yes or no, Ralph, will Jay Cutler be in a Denver Bronco uniform when we start the 2009 season?
If you would have asked me a week ago, I would have said yes. But right now, I'm going to say no. I think that some team is going to really come up with a big trade offer and really knock Denver's socks off.
That was the Reverend Ralph Mancina. You can check him out daily. That's right, daily on the All Access Football NFL Daily Dose, exclusively on the NFLDraftBible.com. He's also back at it again Friday nights on Friday Night Lights. Reverend, as always, thanks for spending some time with us.
All right, pleasure as always.
I told you I'd have you out of here by 10 o'clock on the dot. It's a money, baby.
Yeah, I got my fantasy baseball draft coming up. Good job.
There you go. Don't draft Jose Reyes and you'll be all right, my friend. Moving right along from one special guest to another, I told you we have a magnificent show for you lined up tonight, and I wasn't lying, folks. Next in, we're going to bring in our good friend Scott Daniels of the Legal Line, who we haven't spoken to in a while, and he's got a couple of hot topics we're going to talk about. Scott, are you with us, sir? Scott Daniels of the Legal Line, are you with us, sirree? And we're having some of those technical difficulties. Once, twice, three times. Scott, how you doing tonight, sir? Are you with us?
I'm here now. I think, are we okay?
Oh, we're good to go. We're money, baby. You're so
all
money,
right,
and you don't even know it. First things first, Scott Daniels of the Legal Line. Let's get right into it. The NFLPA selecting DeMaurice Smith as the new executive director. What's the inside scoop?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting because, as you said, DeMaurice Smith is taking over as the new head of the NFLPA. The position was recently last held by, as we all know, the recently passed Gene Upshaw. And DeMaurice Smith is kind of an interesting candidate. No real ties to the NFL or players or executives for that matter. But he is a prominent trial attorney in the D.C. area. Does have ties to Barack Obama and just a very successful man in the legal community. He beat out the likes of guys like Troy Vincent, who's a very outspoken player advocate, and the famed sports attorney David Cornwell, who actually represented Reggie Bush in his fiasco with the NCAA. So he certainly, apparently, in his bid for the position, he impressed many of the player representatives, if not all, and he really gave a good impression that he can really make some change in the league. And he's certainly facing enough turmoil, as you can see, with the economy coupled with a possible lockout that's looming over the next couple of years if the players and the owners cannot come to an agreement. So it's an interesting choice. He's certainly a prominent man, but it'll be very difficult for him to make it through these tough times.
Yeah, we're talking about DeMaurice Smith, the new executive director of the NFLPA, and I think, Scott, he had something like a 10-hour presentation that he presented to the NFL Player Association reps, and I think it was Dominic Foxworth who actually came out on record and said, you know what, after his presentation, the other candidates simply didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, no, there's no question. I mean, I did read those comments by Dominic, and certainly the other player representatives felt the same way. I mean, what the player representatives really liked about DeMaurice Smith is that he is, as a legal scholar and someone who's been involved in the legal community for so many years, the player representatives are very, very concerned mainly with the possibility of a lockout. So they want someone at the head who's going to be an effective negotiator. And I believe that the player representatives felt that Damari Smith was probably going to be the best man for the job, and he's certainly surrounded himself with individuals that will make him perform adequately, at least from the outset. He has already met with Roger Goodell, and he's already begun his negotiation process because, as we all are aware, this is a time is of the essence kind of situation. And if there is an agreement reached by next year, we could be looking at an uncapped season. It could destroy the salary cap in the NFL. So, you know, he certainly wowed his foes and the player representatives down there in Maui, where I believe he was selected.
Talking to Scotty Daniels of the Legal Line each and every Wednesday night on All Access Football Radio, covering all the legal aspects of sports. Scott, let me ask you, DeMaurice Smith, you know, made some interesting comments about the upcoming collective bargaining agreement that's about to expire, you know, something to the effects that we're going to be prepared for war. What type of impact does the hiring of DeMaurice Smith have coming CBA negotiations?
Yeah, well, you bring up a very interesting point because I actually thought it was quite intrigued. I was actually intrigued by some of the comments that he made with respect to war. If the owners cannot come to the agreement table or come to the bargaining table with a reasonable efforts to at least come to an agreement, he did bring up the aspect of going to war. And as an acclaimed trial attorney, it appears that he will go the extra distance for the players. But I did find it very interesting because I think it's a delicate situation, and many of the owners have already came out and said that they don't believe that they're, you know, willing to put it this way. They're at such an impasse right now that the owners have already said that, you know, after already opting out, they are so far away at this point that they're not afraid to go to a lockout. So I think Damari Smith's comments, while very, very, you know, strong as a player advocate, a little concerning with respect to the owners, because you're dealing with billionaires and 100 millionaire individuals that are, you know, willing to go as far as he is, as far as getting an agreement in place that's acceptable to the owner. So I did find it interesting. I have always said that I think they're going to come to an agreement. I think there's too much money on the line for the players and the owners for a lockout at this point. But it's interesting, and I certainly, you know, I commend him for taking the kind of stance that he does for the players.
Talking to Scotty Daniels of the Legal Line, and Scott, we've got some other legal news we're going to get to, but before we do, I want to give a shout-out to my chat room people who I've been ignoring so far. Always love to give a shout-out to the cast of Usual Suspects, The Dream, Experto, the DOP of the FSC. Special shout out to Mark Roenick, Director of Programming. Always good to see him and a couple of other guests. Get down in the chat room. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Get yourself a free user account. Takes all of 2 seconds. Get down in the chat room. We've got two shows going on. One in the chat room, one on air. You want to call in and get into 347-945-6275. That number is 347-945-6275. Ask us anything you want. We got all the answers you need. Scott, Dante Stallworth, unfortunately, in the news for all the wrong reasons this past week. What have we learned from the situation, and what can we expect? What does the future hold for Dante Stallworth?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. Dante Stallworth is certainly facing not the best of situations right now. He has returned to Cleveland to participate in voluntary activities. There's an ongoing investigation down in Miami, as everyone's well aware, and I've written about this. It's been all over major media outlets, especially NFLDraftBible.com. But Dante Stallworth, while allegedly under the influence of alcohol, hit and killed Emario Reyes while driving on his way to the beach. The investigation, as I said, is still ongoing, and really what the district attorney's office is waiting for, and what the media, for that matter, is waiting for, are the toxicology reports, which is going to be a pivotal part of this case. Now, as we have heard reports, unconfirmed reports, keep in mind these are unconfirmed, so a toxicologist has not signed off on them yet. Dante Stallworth has allegedly was driving at the time he hit and killed the pedestrian. His blood alcohol content was a 0.12, which is over the legal limit, which is 0.08. And if these toxicology reports are confirmed, we will most definitely see criminal charges against Dante Stallworth in the state of Florida. And I do suspect we will see civil charges a civil suit filed against Dante Stallworth. And significantly, which is very important for people to understand, obviously Dante Stallworth makes a good living as it is, but he did just receive a very hefty signing bonus. I believe it was around $5 million. So we will certainly see a civil suit regardless. But as we stand right now, we're waiting for the toxicology report, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the district attorney's office down there in Florida charges him with. He could be facing serious felony charges and could be looking at 15 to 30 years in prison.
That was Scott Daniels of The Legal Line, who has two columns now featured on the NFLDraftBible.com. Check it out. Scott, as always, thanks again for spending a little bit of time with us.
All right, Rick, thanks a lot.
All right, Scott Daniels of The Legal Line, going to take a quick break, and coming back, we're going to have one of my steals of the 2009 NFL Draft. Each and every week, I'm bringing you the gems, the diamonds, the players that aren't getting enough hype leading up to the NFL Draft. Up next, we're going to talk to one of those players.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lamming, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Cockhill and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on. Attention fantasy football players. Are you sick and tired of struggling year after year in your fantasy football league? Well, my friend, those days are over. FantasyFootball.com has all the tools you'll need to dominate your competition from August to December. Customized cheat sheet, draft predictor software, live advice, average draft position and auction value tool, and our 150-page draft guide. We have it all. Visit FantasyFootball.com today and sign up for our Platinum Package. It's the best value on the net. If you're serious about winning, we're the name of the industry. FantasyFootball.com. Tired of just getting by in your fantasy football league? Want to trump your friends in fantasy baseball? Then check out OwnersEdge.com, the website that provides its readers with everything a player needs to dominate their league. Our daily player rankings, extensive injury reports, and analysis on individual defensive players can help you become a winner. So why play against the competition when you can destroy it? And to top it off, OwnersEdge.com has added live advice, the latest and the greatest tool in fantasy sports. This add-on allows you, the customer, to contact our award-winning staff and ask every question you possibly can have about your fantasy team. If you're not sure which players to start or which should ride the bench, why not ask an expert on the spot? So instead of scraping together hints and tips, go to the source. Join us today at OwnersEdge.com.
Okay, back again on this Monday Night Lights NFL Draft Bible Edition, and as promised, we have another special guest. Moving right along, it's been a nonstop show of action, and right now joining us is University of Pittsburgh linebacker Scott McKillop, who I believe is not getting enough respect in the NFL draft world. Scott, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good indeed. As a matter of fact, I just got done doing a mock draft today, and, you know, myself personally, I'm debating whether or not I should put you in my first round, and I don't get it, Scott. It seems like you're not getting the respect you deserve, kind of the old Rodney Dangerfield line. Would you agree with me on that assessment?
Yeah, I think sometimes,
the conference I played in, and sometimes it doesn't get as much respect as it deserves. But, you know, that's just one of the things, just the adversity and challenge I've faced, you know, my whole entire career. And it's just another thing I have to go out there and prove again if I get another shot next year in the NFL.
Well, you had an outstanding combine, and I would imagine that plenty of NFL teams wanted to speak to you after that performance. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what else have you done leading up to the draft in order to get prepared for the upcoming draft? I know you stood on your numbers at the combine at your pro day, but you did do some workout drills. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I thought I did well enough to keep my numbers for the combine, and I just, you know, concentrate on position work, because a lot of the teams, what they want to see me is see how well I move in space and, you know, how well I can, you know, change directions.
And what type of feedback did you receive at the pro day?
You know, a lot of teams have given me a lot of positive feedback and say, you know, I've created a little bit of a stir amongst, you know, teams and scouts and whatnot, and a lot of people, you know, didn't really realize, you know, I can move as well as I can.
Talking to Scott McKillop, inside linebacker from the University of Pittsburgh, one of the guys who I really like a lot in this upcoming draft, a guy that, you know what, if you're getting him in the second or third round, this guy, Scott, you are going to be a diamond in the rough for somebody's team. And, you know, again, you had the strong combine performance. You had, you know, questions about you at the pro day workout about how well you move in space. You seem to have answered that question. Now I'm hearing, you know, critics question whether or not you're a three-down linebacker at the next level. How do you respond to that assessment?
Well, you know, throughout my, you know, high school career, college career, there's been a lot of questions. You know, a lot of people like to label me, you know, a certain way. And just one of the things that, you know, I try and do is, you know, I play with a chip on my shoulder. You know, no matter where I'm going to go, people are going to say I'm not good enough, I'm not fast enough. You know, I'm only a two-down linebacker. But that's just something that I take, you know, and I use that fuel to, you know, to heat that fire and keep me working hard and hard. And, you know, that's just one of the things that, you know, I try to do is just, you know, prove all my critics wrong. And just, you know, all it takes is, you know, one person, you know, one statement, one comment, you know, keep me motivated, have me work harder. And just, you know, I feel I'm a three-down linebacker, you know. So, you know, I have to go out there and, you know, when I get my shot, just, you know, prove them wrong again.
Talking to Scott McKillop, University of Pittsburgh linebacker, a guy who just swarms to the football, a pure, instinctive football player. He's got it, folks. This is a guy you need to keep an eye on leading up to the draft. Scott, talk to me a little bit about the pro day more. You know, your guesstimation, how many teams do you think were in attendance, and do you have any upcoming workouts scheduled?
I believe there was 26 teams there. You know, 26. You know, a representative for the 26 teams. You know, I have two workouts scheduled up. I have the Broncos coming in on Wednesday, and I'm flying out to the Chargers on the 30th. But you know, one of the things that, you know, my agent told me is, you know, not a lot of teams are gonna, you know, want to fly me out or whatnot, because, you know, I with the type of film that I have, that it, you know, it answers a lot of questions teams would want to have about me.
All right, Scott, let me ask you about some of your college career. Do you have a most memorable moment?
Well, you know, my most memorable moment was, you know, the first game I started against Grambling State. You know, that was my first opportunity to start, and also it was an opportunity to start with my brother, because whenever we were in high school, when I was a junior and he was a senior, he broke his ankle. No, he dislocated his ankle and broke his leg. So, you know, just to get back on the field and, you know, start and erase that memory from my mind and, you know, have something to cherish on.
All right, how about the toughest opponent that you've had to face during your Pittsburgh career, Scott?
I would say, you know, my toughest opponent, you know, obviously, you know, I face a bunch of good running backs, you know, Ray Rice, Donald Brown, you know, a quarterback is evading as Pat White. But, you know, I have to give it to the offensive lineman, you know, Eric Wood from Louisville. I think he's probably, you know, the nastiest and, you know, in your face, you know, regardless of what down it is or what the score of the game is, he's bringing all he got every play.
How about, what's the one single piece of advice that you've received that's been most valuable to you in this whole draft process?
You know, just a lot of people, you know, take too much time and worry about, you know, where everyone's saying, you know, what they're going to do. You know, after your pro day, after your workouts, after the Senior Bowl, after the combine, you know, if you've done everything you possibly can and you have nothing, you know, to say, you know, I could have done it differently, you know, it's out of your hands, and the only thing you can do is hope and pray and, you know, hope for the best scenario.
Talking to Scott McKillop, University of Pittsburgh linebacker, future stud at the next level. You heard it here first on NFL Draft Bible Radio. Scott, you had the privilege of playing for Coach Wanstead, who implements kind of a pro-style type of system and a pro-style type of camp that he runs. How much do you think playing under, you know, Coach Wanstead is going to help prepare you adjusting to the next level?
Well, you know, exactly like you said, you know, a lot of things that we've done is something very similar to how you know, some teams operate in training camp and whatnot. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, hopefully it does is it provides an easy transition, you know, from college football to the NFL and in terms of, you know, the responsibilities that are put on yourself. Because like you said, you know, Coach wants that, you know, he lets you, there's a lot of responsibilities on you to act like a man. You know, he's going to give you a lot of freedom, but, you know, he just, well, if you mess that up, you know, you're done. You know, he gives you a lot of a lot of leeway, and, you know, he provides you with a great opportunity to also play.
This is Scott McKillop, University of Pittsburgh linebacker. Scott, before I let you go, I got to get on you a little bit. I know these pictures are usually taken a year in advance, but I got to ask you, I mean, how much flack did you receive throughout the course of the season with the headshot you got going on there with the university profile and the whole purple shirt you got going on? Any teammates give you some flack throughout the season for that one?
Well, the funny thing is I actually there's a charity event here at Pittsburgh called the Dapper Dan, and I actually had an opportunity to go, and it was kind of a last minute thing. And I wore the same exact shirt, and of course, you know, I don't know if it was by mistake or what, it put me directly behind Sidney Crosby, and of course Sidney Crosby was always on the camera, and there was this more or less moron with that color shirt on. It was me, and then someone made a comment. They said, "You won't take up your picture like that your senior year." And I was like, "Watch me, I will." So it was kind of. Actually, if you go back in my previous pictures, it was one of my better, you know, pictures. But the shirt wise, you know, I was like, you know, hey, real man wears purple.
Well, I'll buy that one, Scott. Just had to get that one out there, and it's been an honor and a privilege having you on the show. I know you got a busy schedule leading up to the draft, but hopefully you could take a moment out of your hectic schedule, maybe check in with us once again before the draft.
Yeah, that sounds good. I appreciate you guys having me on, and, you know, thanks for everything.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. That is Scott McKillop, a name that you will be sure to hear on upcoming Sundays, and a favorite here at the NFL Draft Bible. I told you we have a jam-packed show, and the guests just don't stop coming. And the next one that we are going to welcome on to the show is NFL Draft Bible special reporter. If you listen to our combine shows, you know Justin was out there in the field reporting exclusive updates, and he joins us once again here on Monday Night Lights NFL Draft Bible Radio. Justin Van Fulpen, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Doing well, and, you know, we've had some good guests on so far this evening. Just had Scott McKillop on from Pittsburgh. Any thoughts on him?
Well, he's that classic middle linebacker in a 4-3 defense. You know, I see him going, you know, in that second day between the, you know, fifth, sixth round. I think that's where he fits at. He's definitely going to be a hardworking, you know, player. Like you said, you're going to see him a lot on Sundays. He's that classic middle linebacker, and in hard nose, you know, he's going to give, you know, effort guy, and he's going to make his name on special teams. And then, you know, down the road, he'll be a starting, you know, middle linebacker in the 4-3 defense.
Now, Justin, we are in the prime of pro day workout season. A lot of players helping out their stock this week. You've been, you know, on top of the pro days, and you've got your finger on the pulse. So who are some of the players that helped out their draft stock this week?
Well, I think, you know, you had guys like Percy Harvin, Jeremy Macklin. I mean, kind of those name guys. Maben from Penn State, you know, he really, you know, shot up his 40 time from the combine to the pro day there at Penn State. You know, really, there's a lot of guys who have really solidified their stock as that first round, you know, draft pick. We had Matthew Stafford last week. You know, his workout kind of solidified him as the number one quarterback in this draft, and most likely the number one overall pick. I know there's been some talk about Jason Smith and him being the Lions negotiating with him. The Lions, you know, have started negotiation with Jason Smith. But Jason Smith is also represented by CAA, who is represented by, you know, Matthew Stafford as well. So in that sense, they're negotiating with both Jason Smith and Matthew Stafford for that number one pick. And with his workout on Thursday was just off the charts, was great, you know, as far as he had only three drop balls, and a lot of people, you know, reference to the Jay Cutler workout that he had, you know, a number of years ago, and really kind of said this guy has as strong of an arm, if not stronger, in, you know, as far as with the NFL system. So he's definitely a guy who has solidified himself. If not the number one pick, he's not falling below Seattle with the fourth pick overall.
And also, Justin, we had some big news coming out, what was it, yesterday or today, about the possible major changes that the NFL is contemplating. Why don't you touch base on some of the things that they're actually considering and what type of impact this could have?
Well, the NFL is considering, as far as moving the draft before free agency, moving the draft to the end of February. That's basically based on economic systems and also wanting, you know, kind of the NFL system to kind of take a break there in May, June, you know, and also taking, you know, as far as the NBA approach of, hey, we'll have our draft, then we'll have free agency to figure out, okay, if we drafted the young guys, now what kind of veterans do we need to bring in to fill those holes? One, as far as the talent evaluator that I had spoken with, had said, yeah, this is what the NFL is looking forward to, because right now they're spending a lot of money. The NFL teams are spending millions of dollars as far as traveling to not only the Indianapolis scouting combine, but all these different pro days that are happening. If they can go ahead and get the Senior Bowl and East-West Shrine Game in Tampa, which right now that negotiation is happening with the city of Tampa to bring the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game there, they would save money, because one week they'd have the Shrine Game, the next week they have the Senior Bowl. So as far as all the NFL personnel, the scouts, the player personnel would all be down there in Tampa. And then instead of inviting around 320 players, invite about 500 players to the Indianapolis Scouting Combine. Have that earlier, so then right after the NFL Combine, you'd have the NFL Draft, and then guys who didn't get drafted could still work out as far as like a pro day, like what's going on now, to be as far as free agents. So the NFL is looking into that. The owners' meetings are are out there in California, and they're going ahead with that kind of idea. Now, Rich McKay came out today and said, hey, that's not something they want to go in the direction relatively soon in the next couple of years, but it's something as far as with the economic times that the NFL is definitely looking at as far as seriously, and as far as GMs and player personnel guys are saying, hey, this could definitely be a possibility depending on what happens with the CBA. If they have an uncapped year, you could see this happening possibly in 2011, with the NFL draft happening in February, which definitely takes that whole, hey, leading up to after the combine, and then you're having the, you know, all this mock drafts and discussions like we have in it on NFL Draft Bible, and people getting their opinions of who should be drafted number one, two, three, and having that conversation, that would be hurt. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, hey, yeah, that hurts the media and hurts the kind of the influence of all the draft links that are out there and guys who really follow the draft. But the NFL saying, hey, on a monetary standpoint, this might make a better formula out there of what could happen.
Hey, Justin, got to let you go. Got a bunch of guests that I got to get on the show. I want to thank you for joining us, and just announced today We are going to have your presence blessed on this very show each and every week leading up to the draft. So I'm excited about that, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Hey, we'll talk to you later, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. That's Justin Van Fulpen, NFL Draft Insider for the NFL Draft Bible. And we got a pair of wide receivers coming up with us. We're going to do our best to give them their time, so if you can just bear with us as we get through our guest. Our next up, we actually have a returning guest, Southern Utah wide receiver Nick Miller, the kick return specialist and wide receiver. How are you doing tonight, Nick?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. How you guys doing?
Doing well, and you know, glad to be talking to you. You are one of the guys flying under the radar leading up to the draft, and we've had you on earlier talking about, you know, some of your intangibles, and just to refresh our listening audience, why don't you talk to us about the 40 time that you put in?
Yeah, recently I went down to the BYU Pro Day. Our school didn't have one, so I believe my first time I ran a 4.38, and my second time was a 4.29, so pretty excited about those. You know, just my goal was to hit in the 4.2s, and you know, if I hit 4.3, I wasn't going to be mad. You know, first time I got out a little slow, and second time I felt good, and you know, I got a great time, so I'm not mad about it. You know, I needed to show my speed, and that's what I did in front of those scouts. So.
Absolutely, some very impressive 40 times indeed. Talking to Nick Miller, Southern Utah. Nick, how many teams and how many NFL representatives were on hand at the BYU Pro Day? Do we have a number?
I believe they're between 20 and 25. There's quite a few. You know, I thought I saw most teams there, but you know, I didn't actually count them out.
Okay, so a good number of NFL teams at the BYU Pro Day there in attendance. Any teams show particular interest in you?
You know, I just kind of leave that to my agent. You know, I try to just focus on what I got to do and what's in my hands, you know, and I just stay ready and stay, you know, stay fit, stay working out, and just try to let him, you know, sell me and do his job. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, how has the feedback been? Have you been getting good responses and anything there you can share with us?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been good. A lot of people wanted to see what I could do, you know, whereas the times and everything come from the small school, and I feel that I compared real well, you know, if not better than a lot of the guys. I mean, I trained for it, and I worked, you know, harder than, you know, anybody out there. So I did good, and it seems that, you know, from what I hear, we're getting some calls and hopefully, you know, getting some opportunities that I feel I can show myself. And The good thing about it is they're looking at me not as only as a wide receiver. I can do special teams and obviously return. So it's a lot more than just wide receiver.
Absolutely. Talking to wide receiver, kickoff extraordinaire, Nick Miller. Nick, let me ask you, you know, what is the one thing you feel that you bring to the table that might kind of be overlooked or maybe some NFL teams aren't aware of?
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, my speed, I think that's out on the table now, and just my overall hard work, and I'm going to put everything in. You know, I've always been overlooked coming from the small school, being the smaller kid, but I mean, I feel that numbers don't lie, and, you know, I put up some good numbers at the pro day and just film the back it ups, you know, so I feel just overall hard work, and I'm just going to show everybody, you know, what I can do if I get the opportunity.
Well, Nick, it looks like you have the right mentality, and the NFL Draft Bible will be watching you every step of the way. Do us a favor, check back in before draft time and touch base with us. Let us know how you're doing.
Definitely, sir. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, sir. That is Nick Miller, wide receiver, kick returner, special teams extraordinaire from the University of Southern Utah. We're going to transition into one wide receiver from one wide out to another. Cal Poly wide out, Ramses Barden, who is going Hollywood on us. That's right, Ramses Barden. We're going to get to that in a second. Let's welcome him in onto the show. How are you, Ramses?
I'm pretty good. I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, you're a player that we've been talking about, believe it or not, for the last 2 years now. Our small school insider, Josh Buchanan, has been keeping tabs on you for quite some time, and he had you projected as his number one player on his overall big board coming into the start of the season, and you've done nothing but prove him right thus far. And, you know, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule here leading up to the draft. And part of that schedule looks like it will be involving you and Mr. Mark Sanchez over there at USC Pro Day. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark was down here in Orange County working out, getting ready for the draft and the combine and all that stuff. And he had been working out with some teammates of mine. And I guess they got to talking, and you know, there's not too many, you know, draft eligible wide receivers in California, let alone Southern California. So, you know, they spoke, and I guess he knew who I was, and his family and his agents all knew who I was, and they kind of got together and had the idea that, you know, because I'm so close, it would make sense for me to work out at the pro day and give him an extra, you know, extra set of hands to, you know, go catch some balls, and, you know, it'd be a good opportunity for me as well. So, you know, we spoke a couple times on the phone, and it worked out to where, you know, I could come down here to Orange County and stay with him for a couple weeks. And, you know, we work on our chemistry, and, you know, he'd be my honorary quarterback, and I'd be his honorary receiver, and we could, you know, just go and build from there.
Well, USC is the pro days of all pro days, and I know that all 32 teams were in attendance today at the Wake Forest Pro Day. So I would have to imagine that all 32 teams will be in attendance out there April 1st at the USC Pro Day like they are each and every year. Ramses, talk to us a little bit about what it's like to be on that stage coming from a small school and given the opportunity to showcase your talents on a platform in front of all 32 NFL teams. What does that do for your exposure?
Well, it's an outstanding experience, first of all. You know, I'm extremely grateful for it, coming from, you know, the small school, being kind of the underdog in this whole process and being able to gain the opportunity of the exposure of, you know, such a great platform. One thing I will say is, you know, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, even the little State Farm ESPN Skills Challenge, I think that those are all, you know, events that kind of have been priming me for this transition into the NFL, getting me used to the media spotlight, getting used to, you know, the eyes on you and just the, you know, the heightened, intense atmosphere that comes along with, you know, professional football. So I like to think that I got a little bit of ammunition, a little bit of momentum going into the USC Pro Day and, you know, the private workouts to where it won't be as nerve-wracking as it would had I otherwise not been able to participate in those events.
Talking to Cal Poly wide receiver Ramses Barden, making him a name for himself leading up to the NFL draft. Ramses, you mentioned the Senior Bowl. Let's touch base on that for a moment because, let's be honest, the guys you were playing throughout the course of the regular season – really couldn't match up against you. And at the Senior Bowl, you really got a chance, an opportunity to match your skill set up against other top player prospects across the nation. So just talk a little bit about that whole experience and how you feel your skills matched up during the week of Senior Bowl practice.
As far as my skill set, I think, you know, I fared extremely well. There's certain things that you see when you watch tape of me or you watch me in person that you see, wow, this guy does those things well. And, you know, with the right coaching, with the right attention and the right time, he could be, you know, his opportunities are limitless. You know, one thing you always hear about somebody like me is their upside, and you know, that's some things that I've continued to hear throughout this process just because of kind of the physical tools that I bring to the table with the high weight speed combination, the athletic ability, the willingness and desire to learn and be coachable. You know, all that kind of comes into play where you know, I can only go up, I can only move forward. And the Senior Bowl was definitely an experience, learning experience, when, you know, you're getting used to playing the best of the best each snap. You know, at Cal Poly, we might get a guy that's worthy of an all-star game, you know, once every 10 to 15 games. So, you know, you're not even guaranteed to get a great corner every year, but you know we've seen some talented people, and the difference is just every snap, every play, you're going against one of the best. So it's definitely a little bit of a wake up call. I don't know if I played as well as I wanted to that week, but I definitely shown that you know I have the abilities to be that number one wide receiver, you know, in the draft.
Talking to Ramses Barden, the big wideout from Cal Poly. Standing in at about 6'5", 225. While we're talking about it, Ramses, can we get an official height and weight? What can we expect to see with that?
Official height and weight is 6'6", 229, and we had the San Jose Pro Day this past week, and I was told that a couple of the scouts had me clocked in the 4.4s, and the kind of the official time that they ended up coming out with was a 4.51. So you know, I'm not upset about it, but I always think I can do better. But I'm definitely happy that I'm continuing to surpass expectations. You know, like I said, with the high weight speed thing, it's I don't think there's that many people that can you know have those same type of you know just numbers to come off the board. And I like to think that I'm unique in that way, and you know that I have limitless opportunities in that same fashion.
Yeah, we actually had one of our representatives on location at the San Jose Pro Day, Andrew Garda, and he told me that when you blazed your 40 time, he looked over at some of the NFL personnel in attendance, and he said there was some raised eyebrows over there on the sidelines. So I must ask, any particular teams show interest in you? Do you have any individual workouts upcoming for any teams?
Throughout this whole process, there's been a number of teams that I think has shown a fair amount of interest, which I'm definitely excited about. At the pro day, it was all work, it was all business. You know, just trying to get through the drills and get through the workout. And you know, it wasn't just me; it was my teammates, and it was you know guys from other schools. So as far as strong, you know. Interest there, you know, I wasn't really paying attention for it. I was letting my agent handle that. But, you know, throughout the process, you know, I've talked a lot with the Cowboys, with the Giants, with Tampa, with Miami, the Ravens. There's definitely a number of teams who all are kind of, I guess, are looking for wide receivers that have shown a strong interest in me, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited to continue to show them, you know, that I'm the kind of player and person that they want on their team. And this next couple weeks, me and Mark are doing a private workout for the Jets, I think tomorrow, and then the following day the Redskins, and like we already mentioned, the
Jaguars.
USC Pro Day. I'm not sure about the Jaguars. I got to ask them.
Okay. So in addition to the USC Pro Day, you're actually going to be working out with Mark with some of his individual team workouts as well.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll be on the field. I'll be running my routes, trying to show that continued progression, that continued learning, that you know that translates into that first round guy that you want to take.
Well, that's phenomenal, and you know what? I have to admit that just hearing this, you know, makes me think. You know, my impressions on Mark as an NFL quarterback are, you know, I don't want to lie to you, Ramses. I have my questions still, but just to hear him, you know, kind of just go out of his way almost to include you into some of his pro day workouts and the USC pro day kind of speaks volumes on the type of character and leadership skills that Mark Sanchez is displaying. So if you can, maybe spend a moment on him.
Oh, sure. I could spend more than a moment, you know, just the way he's reached out. You know, it's shown that he's an outstanding person. He's a quality guy. He's introduced me to, you know, members of his family, his dad, his brother. You know, you really see the kind of background that this guy comes from, and there's no wonder that, you know, Pete Carroll wanted to keep him around for another year. He's a hard guy to let go of, and I see why so many teams right now are just chomping at the bit at an opportunity to get their hands on him because he brings so much to the table. His leadership, you know, his football intelligence, his street smarts. You know, I gotta give him kudos for coming to find the best wide receiver in California to come work out with.
I like the attitude. I like the approach. And, you know, you kind of remind me in more ways than one of another wide receiver from out there in California named Keyshawn Johnson. How many times have some players busted your chops on the headshot you got there going on? It looks like, you know, almost Keyshawn's twin brother going on.
I hear that every day. I saw an article put out the other day, you know, comparing us and everything. I think he even had a couple of sound bites in there. So I don't know if I'm on his radar yet, but I don't want to make him too mad. I know he's got a strong personality, and you know he's a great person from what I've heard. But like I said, any positive comparisons that I can draw to, you know, a Hall of Fame caliber guy, you know, I'll take him and just try to grow and try to run with it. But back to Mark, like I said, he's a great person. He's a great guy. He's led me into his home. You know, he's shown me nothing but a class act.
We've got Ramses Barden in the big 6'6", 229-pound wide receiver from Cal Poly, being timed in the 4.40 range in the 40-yard dash.
I'm on the phone.
And we're going to have a little bit of fun, Ramses. We're actually going to welcome in our small school insider, Josh Buchanan, who I was telling about you earlier in the show. Going to have a little bit of fun because Josh over here has had you pegged, Ramses, from day one. So we're going to welcome Josh into the show. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, guys. I don't like that response I got from Ramses over there.
It's like a reunion. Oh boy!
From a couple hours ago
when we talked,
I get scared every time I'm on the phone with Josh because you know there's no guarantee that you're gonna hang up the phone the same night you call him.
Wow!
Nah, he's
low blow, baby.
Man, that is a low blow. Dropping on the board, Randy's board is stock falling there.
I had to get him back for a couple of times. He shot some jokes at me, but no, Josh is a good guy. He's a hard worker. Always.
Hey, did we say draft stock rising? I think we meant draft stock falling.
I think it's draft stock falling. Let me make a couple of calls real quick.
Oh, hey. I take it back.
Hey, Josh, I wanted to bring you on for a few minutes while we had Ramses on, so. You know, we've been talking for you know, the last 10, 15 minutes or so. I know he's got a busy schedule. If you want to have at it and you know, get into him with a question or two before we let him go, be my guest.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. I mean, I don't know if I really want to talk to him now that he's hurt my feelings, but I'll try to
bridge
and get over that.
You know you're my favorite guy outside of the family.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's funny, I haven't heard you say that in public. I know you should keep that pretty quiet, right?
Well, I let everybody know. Whenever I need anybody to talk to or let somebody know some news, you're always the first person I go to.
Well, I appreciate
you
that. You must have not met Mike Mayock and the ESPN guys yet, huh? But no, though, I mean, you know, one thing that I don't know if you guys hit on it at all, but talk a little about, you know, your training program. I know you had Elite Athletics. Talk about some of the things you wanted to work on the most, you know, from the football aspect. Not just the, you know, I know you're training for the combine, but what are some of the things in terms of, you know, on the field aspects, you know, of your game that you've been working on since last season that we should expect to see a big, you know, a big improvement in when you go to training camp this fall?
Well, like you said, we've been working on the 40 stuff. We worked on the agility, the jumps, all that type of stuff, which is, you know, standard testing. But when it comes to the field, Elite Athletics was able to pair me up with a guy named Chris Thomas, who's actually a Cal Poly alum. And, you know, he was in the league for several years. He's not exactly a household name, but just somebody who was able to stay and have a you know, successful number of seasons as a backup and a change of pace guy, just because, you know, how precise his routes were and how much time and effort he put into, you know, really breaking guys down, you know, just one on one. He's not a guy who's gonna jump up over you and beat you or run 4.2 like my guy Nick Miller. But he's somebody who's got, you know, some of the best pair of feet. You know, if you ever get a chance to watch him or see him, he's got great routes, and he's a great teacher more than anything. So he's a guy I've been able to, to get together with, and he showed me some little tricks, some things to add to my game to, you know, help me get in out of my route quicker, to help me be more explosive in their things that I've been, you know, slowly trying to put into my game and really really trying to grasp in order to make this transition a successful one to the next level.
Yeah, and you were talking about you talking about him, that you've been working with him on your routes and everything. I know you haven't been alone at all. I know there's a guy on your team that you like a lot. That I know he's not a very big guy, but he runs pretty well. And if it's not just him, but who on your team is, you know, you're getting all the press here. Who on your team, you know, if scouts ask you for a recommendation, who on your team is not getting the press? It's a guy you think should be getting looks from the NFL right now.
Well, the first guy I would tell him is Tre'Dell Tolbert. He's been my roommate for the past 4 years. He's the other receiver on the other side. He's the reason why it's so hard to line up against us on defense, is because, you know, the guy pretty much can run a low 4.3 or a high 4.2 when he's in the zone, and he showed that a couple of days ago at the San Diego State Pro Day. I think he on somebody's watch, they had him at 4.29, and that really didn't surprise me. I was surprised he didn't run that at San Jose, honestly, you know, because that's just what he is. He's a speed guy. He's a track guy. He's been doing this longer than I have. He had more offers than I had coming out of school, you know. So he's really just a big talent that hasn't really been tapped yet, just because I got a lot of the attention in the offense. But, you know, as more people start to learn his name, he's really gonna surprise and probably interest a lot of people, NFL wise.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned him before, and he's a guy with a pretty good career. But, you know, it's tough when you have a guy like you on the other side. You know, you maybe don't get noticed as well because everybody, you know, is looking at you. And my last one's actually, you know, you had a good game against Wisconsin, and that was probably the, one of the toughest teams you played all year. I don't know if you felt that was the toughest. I know it was your only FBS team, but. I mean, not your only one, but I mean, I know it was the tougher one between the two. So I know a lot of people would assume they were. But talk a little bit about that game. It was on TV. You had a good game. I know they didn't get to really go to you as much, but I know you had a big catch late in that game. Talk a little bit about that experience and did playing it in, you know, an atmosphere like that, some of the FBS atmospheres you have been. Did it help at all, you know, when you went to the Senior Bowl and things like that, knowing you had gone against some of these guys already from the big schools?
Yeah, I mean, our coach Rich Ellison, you know, him scheduling that Wisconsin game just shows his competitiveness, and we've got a competitive team. I think we all kind of really rose to the challenge and accepted it. When we didn't come out with the victory, there was you know, a number of opportunities we had to change the outcome of the game, myself included. You know, I'll be the first person to look and find spots where, you know, I could have made a play here or made a play there that might have been the difference. But, you know, as a team, I think we played with outstanding effort, you know, myself included. But, it was a great primer for the Senior Bowl, being the cold atmosphere, being against, you know, a higher level of competition and not backing down, you know, staring the challenge in the face, and you really, really wanted to be that school who was responsible for the major upset of the year, you know, that season.
All right, well, Ramses, I want to thank you for going overtime with us tonight. I know you're a busy man, and we will let you go, and hopefully maybe you could check back in with us before draft day.
Oh, not a problem. I really appreciate it. And you got to get my man Josh an anchor position on the show, whatever he wants to get.
Yeah, I'm going to – next week he'll be in studio, co-host.
Okay.
Hey, sucking up's too late now. You've already fallen on the big board. You're already ranked 50th now. You can't, you know. I'll say this, though. I'm saying you're going to fall, but as you know, I'm usually full of it. I mean, you know, you'll probably still be number one no matter what you say, even if you come out hating on me. But you should be falling, even though I'm not going to do that. But just for the record, you should be. But I'm not going to take that personal because I'm a better man than that, you know. And I'm not going to take any wisecracks at you either.
You, all right, man. I appreciate it. That's big of you.
Good luck, Ramsey.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, we'll be talking to you soon. University of Cal Poly and Josh. 6'6", 229, running in the 4'4 range, is it possible he could sneak into first, second round status?
I mean, if he's going to keep talking like that, no, not. You know, I think he'll end up maybe in the second round. I don't think he ends up in the first. You know, although that last workout he had, he had clocks that had him in the high 4.4s, low 4.5s, you know, which is a lot of people thought he was a 4.6 flat type of guy. So, him running high 4.5s is really not far off of what was expected. But, you know, 4.48, 4.51, you know, is a vast improvement. So, there's definitely that possibility that I could see him maybe getting in the first portion of the second round. I would be a little surprised if he went in the first round, just because this year is not a very weak receiver class. It's a very good receiver class. So I would say this should be a little bit tough. But you know, if there's a huge run on receivers in the first 25 picks, you know, anything goes. But you know, I would say no. I'd say probably early to mid second would be where he should expect to come off the board.
And it's funny, you know, I was telling him before you came on the show, Josh, I was telling him, you know, you've been telling me for a couple seasons now about Ramses Barden, and he's not the only player you've been on top of all season long. You know, going back to our preseason rankings, you know, some players that are just now coming to fruition and coming to the surface of mainstream media. We've only got about 3 minutes or so. Why don't you talk about some of the players that you identified before the season even started that, you know, draft stock is just now starting to rise?
Well, there are a few guys that kind of surprised me that they weren't getting this attention early in the year, and most of them were non-combine invites. Western Illinois linebacker Jason Williams is a guy who's a phenomenal athlete. I didn't understand why a lot of people overlooked him. As a junior, I thought on tape he was one of the better linebackers I had seen from the small schools in a while, you know, in the last few years. And, you know, he's just a great guy, a good character and everything like that. And I just, you know, I really, if a team took him in the third or fourth round, I mean, I would say good pick. You know, if someone gets him past the fifth round, they're getting a huge steal. I think he's one. You know, a couple other guys in which somewhat surprised me. One of them doesn't really surprise me, which is Dudley Geis of Northwestern State. Hasn't been in a pass-happy offense, so he hasn't had a chance to put up the numbers. But you can see what type of athlete he is in his workouts, running 4.3, 4.4s at 6.3, 209 pounds. But two of them that I don't get because they've been heavily productive throughout their careers is Colt Anderson of Montana and Dan Scuda of Grand Valley State. Both guys, neither one is your ideal height, weight 40, but they're great football players. And, you know, especially Scoot is a versatile guy. So, you know, those are other guys. And one that has been very productive and is probably good, well, he is making a position switch, there's no doubt about it, is Zach Miller from Nebraska Omaha, former quarterback. He's a big, big athletic kid who runs well, played very well in the Cactus Bowl, as did Scooter, and has seen his stock rise. So, you know, those are some of the guys, and like I say, I'm real surprised that they haven't gotten more attention than they have. I'll throw a couple other names out there. You know, Everett Pettisclaw from Northern Iowa, I didn't have him in the preseason, but had him early in his senior year when he started to show up on the radar, and Dobson Collins receiver Gardner Webb just had a phenomenal workout at Wake Forest in front of 32 teams, and I would be very shocked if he wasn't drafted. Even though nobody out there is saying that, I think he will be a surprise draft pick to a lot of people.
Yeah, Zach Miller, Omaha, Nebraska, one player who may have improved his draft stock more than any other player, period, leading up to the draft. And unfortunately, we are out of time on Monday Night Lights, so Josh, we've got to say goodbye, but hopefully we can have you back on next week and break it down again leading up to the 2009 NFL Draft.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was Josh Buchanan, NFL Draft Bible Small School Insider, exclusive inside analysis. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on Monday Night Lights, Camera Action. I'm your host, Rick Sarah, telling you like it is. You can catch me each and every Monday, 9:30 p.m. exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel, thefantasysportschannel.com. Back at it again Friday nights, 8 to 10. And don't forget our new show debuting tomorrow at 5 p.m. So we're all over the place, baby. I'm going to break it down, take it out with the Jock Jams special, and I don't know if it'll make it all the way through on the live Fantasy Sports Show, but you can always check out our archives and hear the full rendition and our interviews with Scott McKillop, Scott Daniels, Nick Miller, Ramses Bard and Josh Buchanan, Ralph Mancini, and all the NFL Draft Bible All-Stars. Check us out, NFLDraftBible.com, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble! Welcome to the big show. Simply.